Now, normally the button harmonica doesn't spring to mind when I hear Johann Sebastian Bach, but this really works, Tom. Who is this?
This is Richard Galliano, and he's a jazz accordionist primarily from France. And right here he's playing this instrument called the accordina, which looks like a big harmonica with buttons on it like an accordion.
That's Tom Heising. He's NPR's classical music producer and a regular on this program. So, Tom, this piece, it's fantastic. I love it.
It's a really great disc, all Bach's music, and we've heard Bach over the years played on a lot of different things, a banjo, a marimba, even on power tools. So, I mean, why not the accordion?
Why not?
Actually, if you think about it, it's a very close instrument to Bach's own instrument, the organ, so it's essentially, you know, blowing wind through some kind of contraption, and on this record, Galliano plays with some string players, and here's what it all sounds like in this really beautiful slow movement from Bach's Harpsichord Concerto in F minor.
I don't think I've ever heard of someone who specializes in classical accordion, Tom.
Well, he's actually experimented in many styles over the years, and Galliano, at age 4, followed his dad's footsteps and took up the accordion, and largely made a career by playing with jazz greats. Hmm.
Does Galliano, would he offend Bach purists? I mean, would they hear this and say, this is really cheesy?
Well, this is not Bach on period instruments, let's say. But
right.
I think, Guy, he's not overstepping his bounds. I mean, if he were taking these heart-wrenching arias and pieces from the St. Matthew Passion or Bach's cantatas and trying to rework that for an accordion, it might not sound so great. But most of the music on the CD is music that Bach himself probably played in coffee houses. So, I mean, this is nice, light music, a good summer CD.
It is. Tom, for our next piece by an artist named Tristan Perich, I believe you have a little show-and-tell presentation here.
Well, this is the radio, so it's a perfect opportunity for
show. Yes.
Actually, it's a 5-movement symphony that plays off just a single teeny-weeny microchip, and I think
Like a computer chip.
Yeah, right. And I think half the beauty of the whole project, Guy, is its design. So take a look at this. Here it is. It's housed in this clear plastic CD case made by hand.
And it looks like the inner workings of, like, a small computer housed in a CD case.
Right. We've got a photo up on our website. If you want to take a look at it, you can go to nprmusic.org.
It's really beautiful.
It's kind of like a weird 21st century music box. There are 6 small plastic parts lined up beside each other, connected by these little half-moon-shaped wires. There's a lithium battery about the size of a nickel. And then there's the teeny chip that contains the symphony. And then a port to plug in your headphones, because that's the only way that you can actually hear it, unless you have engineers like we do here that can take it and throw it into a computer.
Hey, it looks absolutely amazing. What does it sound like?
Well, let's hear a little bit of it. I mean, you got to remember, this is on a very small chip, and he constructs the music by a series of on and off pulses. You're probably either going to be fascinated by it like me, or you're going to run away screaming.
I don't want to take anything away from Tristan Perich's creativity, because it is a pretty creative concept, but I don't think I could listen to this for more than 30 seconds, 40 seconds.
Well, I agree that 35 minutes or so of this, you know, it can go on a little long. And actually, Guy, he constructs it so that the last movement never ends.
It never ends. It's
no,
just,
so
it's
it
perpetual,
just goes on.
Until the battery dies.
But, you know, it takes a little bit of your ear getting used to the fact that this is music, like I said, made out of these very simple electronic pulses and arranged by this complicated source code. It's tinny, yes. Too long, probably, yes. But there are really some interesting textures, some polyrhythms, and some small musical ideas that Tristan Perich builds on nicely, I think.
I think you're being a little generous calling it a symphony, Tom.
Well, I guess a symphony is in the ear of the beholder.
I guess
it's how you define it. But, I mean, you know, small bits are fine. Beethoven built the Fifth Symphony on very small building blocks. And I'm not saying this is anything like Beethoven, but there are building blocks here that I think are thoughtful.
That's Tristan Perich's One Bit Symphony. NPR classical music producer Tom Heisinger is my guest, and he's playing us a few of the notable releases that have crossed his desk recently. Now, Tom, do I hear, or are we feeling, it sounds like Space Mountain a little bit, some rumbling or sort of creeping on us?
This is not an earthquake like we had a few weeks ago, no. It's music by Max Richter from his ballet called Infra. I've really kind of grown to love Max Richter's music over the last couple of years. You know, I especially like Richter's music of these old shortwave radio sounds, these industrial rumbles and clicks and pops. As he uses this as kind of an underlying bed for this soundscape slash ballet. Here's a good example, actually, of this kind of grimy, smudgy industrial landscape with some forlorn strings painted on the top of it. And then we get to a more lyrical section of the ballet with piano, slightly minimalist.
You know, this sounds so much like the music from the movie The Piano.
It does, actually, doesn't it? With those repeating figures. But there are a lot of other influences here on this record, too. Brian Eno, Philip Glass, and I love how he puts it all together in this strange sonic landscape.
Tom, I know you're a big opera fanatic. Is there anything interesting that's been released lately that you've come across?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And there's a brand new disc from American soprano Christine Brewer. And Guy, you know you're in for a relaxing time when the CD starts like this.
Just like a monastery on a Tibetan mountaintop.
Yes, opera's answer to jet propulsion, Christine Brewer. You know, Guy, I saw her in concert a few months ago, this spring at the Kennedy Center, and I swear if they had opened the windows, you could have heard her all the way across the Potomac.
Wow.
There are relatively few singers today that have what Brewer has, and that is the muscle, the buttery beauty in the voice, and the intelligence with which she uses it.
What's the piece we're hearing right now?
This is one of a number of scenes from operas by Richard Strauss that Brewer sings on this new disc, and that particular outburst is one of many found in Strauss's operatic retelling of the story of Elektra. And this is the recognition scene where, just in a moment, Elektra finally recognizes her brother who has returned home to, among other things, take an axe to their mother who had previously murdered her husband.
Should we brace ourselves for more jet propulsion?
Well, there's a lot more on the record, but no, actually, I want to go to a passage here so you can hear that although Brewer has this really huge voice, she can scale it down here with some gorgeous, terrifically supported soft singing. Now here, she's just recognized this stranger in the house as her brother, and she's relieved because she knows what's on his to-do list.
Christine Brewer, it's beautiful.
Yeah, she is fantastic. But she's not the only terrific thing on the record. I mean, she sings these Strauss scenes, a few alone, but a few with a new exciting bass baritone, Eric Owens, whose career is just starting to take off very nicely. A singer to keep an ear on for sure. And Brewer's becoming more and more in demand in opera houses all over the place. And then the third player actually is the orchestra, because anytime you have music of Strauss, the orchestra itself is very important. And here, very nice playing by the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and conductor Donald Runicles.
That's NPR's classical music producer Tom Heisinger. He joins us every few weeks to update us on some of the music that's crossed his desk. You can hear more from any of these recordings at our website, nprmusic.org. Tom, thank you so much.
Thanks again, Guy.
Our program is directed by Petra Mayer and produced by Phil Harrell, Kenya Young, Brad Horn, Brent Bachman, and Sam Sanders. The technical director is Sean Phillips, assisted by Paris Morgan, John Widoff, and Cal Southworth. Melissa Goh is the weekend web producer. Our reference librarian is Key Molesky. The director of news programming is Ellen McDonald. Rick Holter is the senior editor, and our senior producer is Matt Martinez. And for Saturday, that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. We're back tomorrow. For now, thanks for listening, and have a great night.